The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you for that. Take your Bible, please, and go back, if you will, to those verses we read just a moment ago. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, where the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." I want us to think very seriously about what God is talking about when it comes to loving Him, when it comes to loving others. You know, I believe in sound preaching. I really do. I believe that a preacher ought to get up and preacher ought to preach as the Holy Spirit of God directs him to preach. Now, because of that, there's going to be different types of preaching at different times. Sometimes a pastor will get up and a pastor will preach a scalding message where the Holy Spirit guides the pastor to be able to do so, to be able to help the people, and perhaps that's necessary. Other times, the man of God will get up, the preacher in that particular church, and he will preach a message that will be a very convicting message. It might be about a topic, or it might be about a direction, or it might be about perhaps something that he sees by way of the Holy Spirit to be a help to the entire flock of God that he's called to be the pastor over. It might be that sometimes a preacher gets up, and the pastor of the church, that is, and he'll stomp, and he'll spit, and he'll holler, and he'll pound the pulpit and try and climb on top of the pulpit, depending on his weight size. I mean, it might be something like that. He may shake the pulpit, and it's easier to shake a pulpit, by the way, if it's not built like this one, but he may do such. It might be a time when the pastor gets up and he preaches a message that is just a learning type of message. I'm talking about a teaching, an instructional type of message. Might be a message such as today on that which is love. And can I tell you, all messages are important. And if you allow God to speak to your heart when the message is delivered, God will always, I said always, God will always bring something across your path that you need in your personal life. Here in verse 7, here's what we see. The Bible says, "Beloved." So he's talking to those that are the beloved in Christ. He's talking to those that are saved. And he says to those that are saved, those that are beloved, he said this, "Let us love one another." Now, by the way, can I say this? In our Christian day, yes, in the very day in which we live, you still have people that are fussing and fighting among themselves that are Christians. You won't believe this. I know you won't. But I heard of churches that split. I said split. They go through a church split over the color of the carpet, over the color of the pews, or over the lighting that's inside a church, or maybe the color of the room that's being painted. And can I say, I believe that is completely absurd. It ought not be that way. But let me give you some things that will help us always to be in unity together as a church as we serve Jesus Christ. Statement number one, understand this, that love can be given or withheld. Love can be given or withheld. The Bible says this in verse 7, as we read in our Bibles, as I read that text verse to you just a moment ago, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another." He said, let this be something that we do. That means it's a choice. That means that you can love a bus kid. We run 11 buses here. I guess between 300 and 400 young people ride our buses. It's presently right now in other preaching stations. It's on property as they have different ones that are preaching and loving and helping and encouraging them. But can I tell you this morning, you can take and love somebody or not someone. You can love your parents or choose to not love them. You can love your pastor or choose to not love him. You can love a youth pastor or choose not to love him. Maybe the music director, and I'm saying that because these fellows are sitting behind me, or not. Or maybe Brother Butler is a personal assistant to me and a help to do many, many things around the church, or not. You can love a friend or not. You can love a sinner or not. Really, the Bible talking about right here, let us love one another. That means it's up to you. Now, by the way, you can always tell if a person feels feels loved. You ever give a child instruction and all of a sudden they cross their eyes or roll their eyes and maybe they sit there looking like they're studious, but really they're mad? And you know, you can always tell when love is received. You can always tell when you're trying to give love to a young person and it's not well received and they smart off to you. Or maybe somebody that you try to love and they turn around and they use a sharp tongue to be able to come back. But you can also tell when somebody's receiving love the right way, because here's what they do. They'll use words of endearment. They may say, well, thank you, kind sir. Or they may say words of forgivingness. Or they may say words of encouragement, if you will, please. Or thankful words or respectful words. I'm saying this morning, that love can be given and love can be withheld. You have to decide. Now, by the way, you don't look for somebody to love you before you love them. Don't do that, okay? You decide that you're going to practice what the Bible teaches a Christian ought to do, and you love people first. And may I say this, you love them not on the basis of if you're going to get love back from them. You know, our grandchildren, now we love our grandchildren. Of course, we love our children too, but you're welcome. But, you know, we love our grandchildren, and they're not able to give love back the way that our children are able to give love back. You know, our children are all grown now, all adults. They're able to give love back. They're able to give respect back. They're able, if you would please, to be able to react to love the way that they have been taught and the way that they have experienced in reacting to love. And you as a teenager, you as a college-age young person, can I tell you, you ought to be able to react to love when somebody does show you love or somebody does show you care. But sometimes you love people when they're not able to do that. We have a special needs ministry here. We run between 25 and 35 that are right now in another service in our special needs department. And we have, about 5 to 8 workers that's in there every Sunday. And they're meeting the needs of these special young people and adults that come into our service. And they have a Sunday school time for them. They have a preaching time for them. And it's a special needs ministry. We cannot tell you, many of our children, many of our teenagers, many of our adults, it's in our special needs ministry here. Can I tell you, they don't know how to be able to give that love back, but they do know how to receive it, and they do know if it's being given. In our departments right now, we have Spanish services going on for our children and for our teenagers and also for our adults. And can I tell you, if you go up to speak to somebody in our Spanish department and you're speaking English, many of them will not know what you're saying, but at the very same time, they know that you care and they know that you're trying to express some love because of the way that you're saying it. When we lived in Brooklyn, New York many years ago, many of our young people would come up and they would say in French that they would love us, or in Spanish that they would love us, or they would speak Swahili or whatever. They would come up and they would speak in that particular language. We had a large deaf ministry in Brooklyn, New York. We ran about 100, 150 deaf that would come to the deaf department. And can I tell you, Sunday afternoon, they would come in all over, from all over New York. They would get on the subways and they would ride into that special deaf service that was held on Sunday afternoon in the church auditorium where they had their own services. And they would come in, and many times I would have the privilege to be able to visit in there or to speak, and I'd have an interpreter that would interpret for me to the deaf. And can I tell you, those that were receiving love, it was totally different than those of us that were giving love. And you and I ought to decide that we're going to give love and we're not going to withhold that love. Oh, you say, but preacher, you ought to be up there preaching about hell today. And you ought to get up there. And by the way, if you keep coming back, you'll get a message like that. But today, I want us to examine, how well do you love people? How well do you love your wife? How well do you love your husband? How well do you love your children? Children, how well do you love your parents? How well do you love those that are your grandparents? And how well do you as a grandparent love those grandchildren? How well is it that you love your friend? How well is it that you love the people that are close to you, about church members and about family members and about those that are business associates? How well are you showing the love of God inside of you to be able to help that person? Statement number one, love can be given or withheld. Statement number two, love does have its foundation in God. Love does have its foundation in God. Now, just a simple portion of the verse where the Bible says in verse 7, as we look upon it, the Bible says that love is of God. Now, can I tell you this morning, in the Bible, you see three different types of love. You see that which is the eros love, and that means I take pleasure in you. You see the filio love. That's the example that the Lord came to Peter and said, Peter, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, I filio you, or I like you. That's what it meant. He said, I like you. That's a type of love. I like you. In other words, I'm fond of you. I think highly of you. And then there's the agape love. The agape love is a love that God, He Himself, says to us when He says, for God so loved the world. That's the deepest type of love that you can find. And can I say this morning, that our foundation of being able to love somebody is found in God. You cannot properly love somebody apart from God. God can give you the right type of love. That means this. God can help you love somebody that's unlovable. God can help you love somebody that's a sinner. God can help you love somebody that's ornery. God can help you love somebody that's stubborn. God can help you love somebody that is just hard to get along with. God can help you to do that. You say, I'm having a hard time loving somebody, preacher. What in the world should I do? I'll tell you what you should do, dear friend. You ought to get close to God and let God be able to love them. Stay with me now. Through you. Through you. You say, well, I tell you what, I just don't know if I can love that person. Oh, but if you submit yourself to a holy God, could not God be able to love somebody? Through you. Through you. You yield yourself to God as a vessel and allow God. Somebody said, I just don't know if I can forgive so-and-so. You can allow God to forgive so-and-so through you. Through you. I just don't know if I can help so-and-so. You can allow God to help somebody else through you. See, we're supposed to be vessels meet for the Master's use. Now, if we're a vessel, that means that we allow God to be able to work in us and through us, whichever way He wants to work in us and through us. Now watch this. So if I go to God and say, God, would you help me to love this individual? Would you love that person through me? As God is loving that person through me, as God has given me an understanding and God has given me insight to be able to love that person, do you think that maybe some of that will rub off on me? Sure. You can't run water through a hose without it affecting the hose. You can't run any type of liquid through a hose without it affecting the hose. Did you know if you go to God and say, God, I'm having trouble forgiving my parents. I'm just having trouble forgiving my parents. But God, would you please forgive my parents through me? Would you use me as that vessel to be able to forgive my parents? Would you use me as that vessel to be able to love that individual? Would you use me as a vessel to be able to help that individual? And by the way, we're also all supposed to be vessels meet for the Master's use. You know what that means? That means as a vessel, you're supposed to present yourself to God and allow God to work through you however God wants to work through you. You're not supposed to put limitations on God. All you're supposed to do is be a vessel, an empty vessel. God, here I am. All that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. My personality is yours. My belongings is yours. My attitude is yours. My disposition is yours. My very presence is yours. And so, God, I'm put on earth for one reason and one reason only, and that is to please you and to bring honor and glory to you. And so, God, here's what I'm doing. I'm submitting myself to you as a vessel, and I pray that you'll use me as a vessel in whatever way that you want to use me. I'm saying that love can be given or withheld. I'm saying that love has its foundation in God. Why not allow God to be able to use you? Why not submit yourself as a vessel meet for the Master's use? Statement number three, think about this. Your love demonstrates who you belong to and who you know. Who you belong to and who you know. The other day, one of the grand boys, Andrew had an ear infection. Now, by the way, he doesn't live at our house. Praise the Lord. He lives with his parents. And, you know, that's one good thing about being... How many grandparents do we have here today? We have grandparents. How many grandparents? Oh, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You know, one thing I know about being a grandparent that I heard this before. I never experienced this before. But being a grandparent, you can love them. You can spoil them. And then you can send them home. What a wonderful thing. You know, but the other day he had an ear infection, and you know, because we love him and we love his parents, and oh, did our hearts hurt. Jordan had the tonsils that had to come out and the adenoids that had to come out, and I thank the Lord for the Bachmans that are here, and oh, I cannot begin to tell you how many times I prayed for Jordan, asked this dad and asked this mom, how's Jordan doing, you know, because when you love somebody, you want to find out about how they're doing. Yeah. You know, when we were in evangelism for 12 years, we would arrive at the church normally on a Friday. We go out door knocking for the church and for the Lord on a Saturday. I'd begin to preach the revival services on a Sunday. They would end on a Wednesday. We would have family day either on Thursday or Friday where we'd pick something to do in the area. It might be museums, it might be bike riding, it might be gun shooting or whatever. But we have a family day where we would go do something as a family. Or we would take that time to travel on Thursday if we wanted to do something in the next town. Before I would begin to preach the revival services, that's when we'd have the family day or whatever. And so, but I remember going to those churches back in those days. And I remember this. We were only going to be there 3 or 4 days. That was it. 3 or 4 days. That was it. And so we had to learn to fall in love with people quickly and deeply. Well, you know, when I came to Parkside Baptist Church as pastor about 8 years ago, we brought that with us. I mean, we were used to doing that for 8 years. So we brought that with us. And so we learned to fall in love with people quickly and deeply. By the way, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That means you can fall in love with somebody rather quickly and it be true and it be deep and it be sincere simply because of the fact that that is the way that God has fashioned you. Here's what the Bible says in verse 7. The Bible says, "And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." You know, I'm saying that love demonstrates who you belong to and who you know. If you walk with somebody long enough, you get to know them. If you spend time with somebody long enough, you get to know them. So many times I hear one or two people that will say from time to time, "Well, I tell you what, I'm attending the church, but I don't know anybody." And I always say this, that's your fault. That's your fault. I put it right back in their lap. That's your fault. Now why is that? Because there's enough people around here. If you go up and try and extend your hand to shake somebody's hand, they're going to shake back. They're going to shake back. Now, if you want to be the Lone Ranger, you can be the Lone Ranger too. Yeah. But if that's your choice, don't complain about it. Right. You know, go up and shake people's hand. I told some fellas, I said, look, one fella came to me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm lonely." And he said, "I just don't have many friends." I said, go out there in that lobby area. I announced it even. I said, if you feel like you need friends, go out in the lobby area and just extend your hand. All those fellas took advantage of it though. They didn't just extend the hand. They didn't go this way. They went this way. People started giving them money. Amen. All right. I'm saying this. I'm saying that you can be whatever you want to be, but God wants us to be able to love people. He wants us to be able to be used of Him as a vessel. And by the way, when you do that, you do show who you belong to. You know, they say that children pick up the very attributes of their parents. Yeah. You know, I've seen that. I've seen parents that are shy. Then I watch their kids. Their kids are shy. I've seen dads that love the fish. In all the years of their life, they took their children fishing with them. And I find out when the children grow up to be adults, you know one of their favorite things to do? Is go fishing. I know adults that take their children hiking. They love to go hiking. You know, and because of that, when the children become adults, watch this now, when they become adults, they love to go hiking. I watched boys that would walk beside their dads as their dads would do carpentry work, and the boys hated it. They hated it. They could not stand it. I mean, the whole time that they're doing carpentry work with their dads all through their primary years of education, they just can't stand it. Then all of a sudden they get married. And all of a sudden they grow older. You find out one of the most favorite things that they do is carpentry work. You know, somebody said that the acorn doesn't fall very far from the tree, and it's true. You know, I find this out about church. If you're a parent that you bring your children to church and they see that you're enjoying church, oh, yeah, I know this. I know that sometimes children sit there and they're kind of antsy and whatnot, and or maybe teenagers and whatnot. And that's how come we have, I think we have five children's churches now. And you look in the auditorium and say, where's all the children? Well, they're in one of those five services. But can I tell you, Sunday night, all the children are coming in here and sitting beside their parents. And I watch them as all of a sudden mom and daddy look up and I see a dad that smiles about a truth. And that boy is staring at that daddy. And as that man sits there, as that daddy sits there, he smiles about that truth. I watch that little boy look at daddy. And all of a sudden, it's really neat to see it from up here because you don't see it from down there. But I see it from up here. He'll look up at that daddy and he'll smile at that daddy real big. And why? Because dad's smiling at something. It just kind of picks up. We got some little bitty guys. I'm talking about little bitty guys, you know. And dad will say amen sometime. And then all of a sudden I hear this little bitty pipsqueak. I mean, just this little bitty boy. Just barely can walk. He'll say amen. Yeah. Amen. I watched that. You know what I've watched? I've watched people that's involved in singing a lot. You know, years ago, Abigail Miller, Jim and Abigail, they moved down to become members of our church. And was it Paul? Thank you, honey. Paul and Abigail moved down from New York and became members of her church at Grace. And Abigail would sing, and she's written several songs like Mrs. Palmore, and would get up there and sing them, and has put out many music CDs and stuff like that. And I watched it over the years, you know, over the years. The family didn't necessarily want to sing with her, didn't necessarily want to sing at all. But now I'm finding out that the kids are singing and they're making solos and they're doing stuff like that. You know why? Don't give up on your children just because right now they're going through a low time in their life. Don't do that. You still be dad. You still be mom. You still be able to give that example about how to serve God, how to stay steadfast in serving Christ. You know, it demonstrates who you are and who you belong to, who you know. Statement number next. Your lack of love also shows who you don't know. Look at verse 8. The Bible says, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know, if you really, okay, watch this. If you really, 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 really want to do good financially, here's what you do. You find somebody that has really, really, really done well financially and ask them questions. If you really want to become good at being a mechanic, then you find somebody that is the best of the best that is in that mechanical area and say, look, show me that. If you really want to learn how to lead singing in big, gigantic conferences, then you hang around somebody that knows how to lead the singing in these big, gigantic conferences. If you really want to become excellent in playing the piano, then you find the most excellent piano teacher that you possibly can find and allow that person to mentor you, to be able to train you so that you can do your very best. Now, can I say, that's the way it is about God. If you really want to love people, you really want to give yourself to loving people, then study God, who is the most excellent example of being able to love people. For God so loved the world. You cannot get any better than that. You're not going to give your son, you're not going to give your daughter, but he did. So I'm saying this, I'm saying that the lack of love shows who you do not know. It is important that we know the right one. Years ago, D.L. Moody was walking down a Chicago street one afternoon. It was on a Friday afternoon. The sun was getting ready to set, and there was a man that was leaning against the lamppost there in Chicago. He went up to the man, and he put his hand on the shoulder of the man. He said, sir, are you a Christian? The fellow responded with an angry remark as he said, "That's none of your business." Mr. Moody said, "I'm sorry to have offended you, but to be frank with you, that's all of my business. I hope you have a good night." And he walked off. Several weeks had gone by, according to the way the story is written, and Mr. Moody was in bed. All of a sudden, there was a tremendous loud pounding on the door. I mean, just continual. And finally, he got up out of his bed. He went to the door of his apartment, and there stood that very same man. Mr. Moody said, "What in the world do you want?" The man said, "I'm so sorry. I realize it's a very unearthly hour, but I'm the man. A couple weeks ago, it was standing beside the lamppost." And he said, "When you asked me that," he said, "I really wanted to say I need Christ." He said, "But I didn't know anything about Christ." He said, "But you caused me to search." He said, "And for the last several weeks now, I've been laying in my bed asleep at night wondering, how can I be saved? What can I do to become a Christian?" He said, "Just bothered me and bothered me and bothered me that I just had to get up. I had to find out where your apartment was." And he said, "Fortunately, people know who you are." And so I went and I went and I went trying to find. I knocked on door after door after door. And I'm so glad, Mr. Moody, that you answered the door. And that night, he became a Christian. Now, can I say this? Can I say that your lack of love shows who you don't know? You know, one of the funnest things I ever do in my life is to take these gospel tracts, and I love doing it, but I carry them with me everywhere I go, and I'll take these gospel tracts and I'll just pass them out, and I'll say, "What's written in here could change your life forever." By the way, if you ever need a friend, we're at Parkside Baptist Church. And man, I just pass these out like running water, just everywhere I go, just running water everywhere I go. You know why? Because there are people that I have heard and that has been a part of my life that has taken that gospel track, and at a time in their life when they have a break or something like that, they'll read that gospel track and they'll come to a point where they understand their need of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, Christ only is the one that a person receives in order to go to heaven. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, the Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Listen to it. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Wherein is love?" It says, "Not as we loved God, but he loved us and he sent," it says, "his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And so may I say that love will cause us to sacrifice. When you love somebody, you sacrifice. You'll sacrifice time to be with them. You'll sacrifice energy. And by the way, your life is made up of your time. That's all your life is made up. One day, your time is going to end. The Bible talks about life as a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and that it vanisheth away. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." So you and I only have so much time on earth. I don't want to waste my time. I want to give God the best years of my life. I want to be able to serve God and give him the best hours of my life. I want to be able to love my family and meet their needs and be the husband I should be and the dad and the granddad that I should be. I want to be able to be the best pastor I can be. I want to be able to be the best counselor I can be. I'm saying this. I'm saying that love will cause you to sacrifice. Somebody said this years ago. He said this. He said, "Every church is filled with willing people, some that are willing to work and others that are willing to let them work." Yeah. It's true. But love is sacrifice. Great Christian businessman J.C. Penney said, "If a man's business requires so much of his time that he cannot attend church, then a man has more business than God ever intended for him to have." Amen. Can I say that love will mean that you sacrifice? What's that mean? You know, it is a sacrifice, dear friend. I'm being honest, and you are too if you're listening and that you're on trail with me. It's a sacrifice to come to Sunday school. It is. It's a sacrifice for me. It's a sacrifice for others that come. It's a sacrifice to come Sunday morning. Sunday night, Wednesday night. But can I tell you, the sacrifice is well worth it with all that God gives you. See, if you sacrifice to go to a gym to work out or something like that, It's worth it in the end, later on, perhaps if you get in better physical health. If you're a reader and you read, the sacrifice is worth it later on as you gather the knowledge and the information you need in order to make a wise and just decision. The same thing it is in learning Christian principles and coming to church. I'm saying this. I'm saying as we consider love, love is given and it can be withheld. Love has its foundation in God. Love is demonstrated by who it belongs to and who you know. There's the lack of love, and that also shows up. We ought to be willing to sacrifice. Last statement, we ought to be willing to love each other in Christ. Now, I'm not saying there's something feminine about that. You can go up and shake another man's hand as a man and say, man, I sure appreciate you and I love you in the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being able to, Ray Young very often will shoot me a text and he'll say, preacher, I want you to know I'm flying through the Dallas airport and I sure do love you and I'm praying for you. There's nothing wrong with something like that. I'm saying this. I'm saying 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So love one another and encourage one another. Brother Freienstein with his lame foot, can I tell you? Be able to love somebody that is having that difficult time. Brother Butler, it's in the hospital right now, Tyrone Butler, okay? Be able to love. So Mrs. Miller is down here in the rehab center, okay? Be able to extend yourself and love. People that's going through surgery, Mrs. Lawrence just went through surgery, okay? Be able to extend yourself in love. You know, when you see somebody's got poochie lip disease, it looks like they can't walk straight because their bottom lip is sagging down between their two big toes and they can't know which way to go. What do you do? You extend some love there and you encourage them. You don't always have to be somebody that's down in the dumps. You don't always have to be somebody that's walking around looking like that you're wearing the weight of the world. No, you can be able to take that weight that you have and go to God and say, God, I can't do this. I can't handle this, but God, you can. And so, God, I pray that you'll handle this through me so that I can be able to make it through. I'm saying this over in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11, as I read a moment ago. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Faithful church member wrote a newspaper editor complaining. He said this. He said, I've been going to church every Sunday for the past 30 years. He said, I've listened to over 3,000 messages. What a waste of time. I can't remember one message. The editor wrote back to the disgruntled church member and silenced him as he said, I've been married for over 30 years. He said, the times of my wife cooking has been over probably 32,000 meals. I can't remember one single meal, but I'm glad she cooked them. And I'm glad I ate them. Well, can I say that's the way it is in church? You know, here's the way church is. Church is taking somebody and adding, building, and it takes time. All the time that I was a young believer, God saved when I was 18 years of age, all the time that I was a young believer, I was going to church, I didn't know I was growing. I didn't know that. I didn't know that by coming to church, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I didn't know that. I was just sitting there and pastor was preaching and his pastor was preaching and he was giving Bible principle. It was going in. I didn't feel any different. There was no spiritual surge, which I think young people are looking for today. They're saying, boy, if I go to church and I don't have some type of surge, electrical socket that I get plugged into and zing, then it must not be worth it. Well, can I tell you, the Bible is true. And God is true. And what happens is this. When God builds a believer, he builds them a little bit at a time. Oh, some of you are very strong believers, but can I tell you, if you hadn't been in church as long as you've been in church, growing up, you would not be as strong as you are today. It's not one sermon necessarily that changed a person. It is a series of sermons, a series of truth, whereby one is built upon another, whereby we grow. Learn a truth here, 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 and it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds. Before you know it, you're old and gray. Somebody comes up to you and they say, well, let me ask you a question. And you say, well, here's what the Bible teaches, blah, 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 blah. And they're amazed. Well, how did you learn that? Well, it took 42 years to learn it. Somebody asked a preacher one day, how long has it been that you've been working on that sermon? And the man had been preaching for such a long time, he said it took 50 years on that one. Took 50 years on that one. Because, you see, as we grow in the Lord, then it does spill out. But it takes time to grow in the Lord. It takes time. Some people, they give up so quick. Oh, they go through times of disparity. And all of a sudden, they just give up. It's something. They go through just a little challenge in their life, and they say, well, I'll tell you what, I guess God is just not real, because they go through this little disparity time in their life. When God has showed you over and over of his goodness, God has showed you over and over of how good he's been to you, and how God can answer prayer, and God has done so much for you. It's not time when you go through difficulties in life to throw up the white flag of surrender and saying, well, I guess I'll just throw in the towel. I'll surrender. I quit. That's not the time to do that. That's time to go back into the resources, as David was there at Ziklag. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that was a time of despair in his life. How did he encourage himself in the Lord? He remembered the day that he met the lion. He remembered the day that he met the bear. And now he remembered the times, if you would please, even as he's facing the time of the giant there. He used the remembrance of the lion and the bear to be able to face the giant. And now he's at Ziklag, and all of his fellow companions have turned against him. And he remembers the things that God did. And can I tell you, God is the very same God that can help you when all of a sudden you go through the despairs and the problems and the temptations and the tribulations in your personal life. Can I tell you, God is still good. Amen. And God still answers prayer. Amen. So what do you do? Allow God to work in you and through you. Oh, Brother Wells, it's hard to love people. Allow God to love people through you. Why don't you get real with God sometime and just say, God, I'm having a difficulty loving, and name that person. I'm having a difficulty loving, and name that person. So God, would you do me a favor? Would you help me by loving that person through me? And by the way, as he does that, here's what happened. You'll pick up on some stuff along the way. You will, because God will put, if you're real about it, God will put ideas in your mind of how to love somebody that you never thought of, because he's the one that you can turn to help you to learn how to love people. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege to be able to be in church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.